Let's look at foreign policy. Certainly the recent summit with Vladimir Putin in Helsinki, the assessment of that, certainly by the mainstream media and by others, was that it was a disaster and that President Trump was seen to be Putin's poodle and that we had given up an incredible amount of power, and tacking that on to his performance with the NATO people, it was like just more of the same. How accurate is that? Because Trump himself has now said, but I'm tougher than anybody's ever been on Russia. And in some cases, when you look at the sanctions that are in effect, he's got a point.
In some cases, yes. This is a fascinating situation because in many ways, like you said, Trump has given arms to the Ukrainians. Trump has done a whole series of things that should anger the Russian government and have. He's increased sanctions significantly. Now, he was not in favor of that. The Congress overruled him. But in some cases, you can make a very strong case that Obama was much weaker. You know, he did nothing when Georgia was invaded. He did nothing when Crimea. I mean, so there's a whole series of weak responses. Remember the reset button that Hillary Clinton brought? So if you look at it on paper and just do away with the rhetoric, Trump is much tougher on Russia. However, in politics, perception is often more important than reality. And the perception is if you just listen to what Trump says and listen to how he refuses to take on Putin in any way, shape, or form, then the perception is this man is weak and what is wrong with the relationship, because he fails to hold Putin accountable for some of the actions in the election and the other aggressive acts that Putin has taken. Let's look at it from the most positive point of view. China is the great threat for the rest of this century and the next. It is the rising hegemonic power, and it does not view the United States as an ally. It views the United States as an adversary. So you want to triangulate, just like Richard Nixon did in the 1970s, where he had a better relationship, Nixon did, with China and Russia than Russia and China had with one another. So that's a good geostrategic plan on the part of the administration, if that's exactly what they want to do. So in the positive view, if we have good relations with Russia, it actually helps us fend off the Chinese better. And the worst case scenario is that we have a China-Russia alliance, which works against and antithetical to U.S. and NATO strategy in the long run. The worst case scenario is that Trump literally got out of bankruptcy because of Russian money. And who knows if they have anything on Trump. But I don't want to get into conspiracies. I just want to say that is the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. One would hope and pray that that's not the case. But the other aspect to it, which I think is the most likely explanation, Putin says nice things about him and has said nice things about him in the past. He responds positively to people who compliment him. So it might be as superficial as this guy says nice things about me, but Nancy Pelosi doesn't.
And Trump would look at Putin and think of him as a really tough guy, the kind of person he might really admire.
Right. There does seem to be a worrisome view of Trump as coddling authoritarian regimes. But I think it's actually even more superficial than that. When Kim Jong-un meets with the president, he gives him one compliment after the other compliment. I suspect that if we look at the planning books of North Korea, China, and Russia, they will say the first thing you do is say lots of good things about Trump, and then all of a sudden everything opens up.
Now, where do we stand in our relationship to Europe and especially NATO now?
He is absolutely correct that NATO countries are not paying their fair share, and they haven't been paying their fair share for 50 years. So it's important for us to remind the Europeans that 2% of gross domestic product is not a lot to ask for your national defense, number one. Number two, there are unfair trade practices practiced by the European Union that do hurt American trade with the Europeans. So we have legitimate grievances. The problem is past administrations had dealt with this behind closed doors. And you can talk tough behind closed doors because you're not embarrassing and humiliating your friends. But when you make these public utterances where you're insulting key leaders, key friends of the United States, then all that does is it hurts the relationship and it hurts your ability to come to a meaningful compromise with your allies.
And at the same time, you're saying nice things about someone who is not your ally. And that kind of reflects on how you treated your friends.
Well, and I think this goes back to Trump's business experience. He had two essential strategies for business, bully and charm. And he did it almost simultaneously. He would say rough things and he'd go, oh, we're all friends. Let's compromise. He would break contracts and then come to another compromise. So he's used to this double dealing kind of situation because it's worked for him in business, at least to some degree.
Let's look at trade. Are we headed for in the middle of a trade war?
Well, the old free trader in me is really worried about this because, look, the United States has been founded on opening market. So you don't want to go away from a 200-year-old policy that worked rather well. On the other hand, the rise of China and the predatory practices that China has assumed over the last 15, 20 years has done damage to the international community. We actually allowed the Chinese into the World Trade Organization, hoping that that would get them to accept free market trade rules. Instead, they have kept their markets closed. They have literally stolen all kinds of copyright and all kinds of high-tech stuff. So these, China's acting in a pernicious manner, that, and it needs to be threatened or at least punished for those kinds of operations. The problem is you don't simultaneously go after China, the EU, and South America, because then you're going to create a global trade war and it's going to be 1936 again.
Well, there's no doubt that we are in a unique position at this point in our history. Are you optimistic looking forward?
Well, as someone who teaches the strategy of warfare and international diplomacy, you wouldn't think I'm optimistic. However, I am always optimistic for a number of good reasons. One, we are a part of a nation that is the greatest in the world, that has brought democracy to the Western world, has won two world wars. And for all of our atrocious mistakes, we still do more good than harm. And I think our institutions are strong enough to survive even Donald Trump. So I remain cautiously optimistic.
Professor Mark Genest of the U.S. Naval War College, thanks for talking to Rhode Island Public Radio.
Always a pleasure. Big fan.